I'm excited. I get to preach. Pastor Vicky asked me last Wednesday as I was dropping off the kids if I would preach this Sunday, and I said, yeah, definitely. I would be more than happy to. They are just taking a day of rest and relaxation. We had a great Team D yesterday, so thank you all of you who came out yesterday. It was an awesome Team D. They were able to just share their hearts. Our next Team D is September 30th, so for those of you, put in your phones right now. In your calendar, your Google calendar, and we'll have an awesome Team D. It's different every single time, but it's a great time for our leaders, our volunteers, to just get a word from our pastors, and we've been doing table talks, so you get to meet other people, talk about different topics. It's really fun. So I am going to be in Galatians this morning, so you can turn on your phones, flip to Galatians. I will not be offended if you have your phones out, because that's where we go in our Bibles in 2017, right? If you've got your old school leather-bound Bible, that's all right, too. We actually had a visitor from Owatonna last week, and he said, is it all right that I still bring my leather-bound Bible here? Yes, you are still welcome here. So, but go ahead, go to Galatians chapter 3. And it says, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? So I just want to kind of cover my bases here. Back in Galatians chapter 1, Paul has returned to his churches in Galatia, and he has seen false teachers have come into these churches, and they've started to preach law. They've started to preach that you have to earn your salvation. And here he is going, no, for the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. So he is saying, no, it is not law that I have been trying to teach you. I've been trying to teach you faith, and these false teachers are coming in and totally twisting what Paul has said. But I love how Paul is. There is a reason that he wrote half of our New Testament, and that is because he just tells you like it is. We just need to be told how it is. He's a red personality. About a month ago, we did our color personality test in Team D, and we were told that Paul is a red. The red people, they really don't mind if they're stepping on toes. They're going to tell you like it is. So here he says, who's cast an evil spell on you? And then he says, how foolish can you be? If you look up foolish in the dictionary, it actually means brainless. It means stupid. So he's saying, seriously, how stupid can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. And that was in the Old Testament. I mean, he's talking about how Abraham had faith in the first book of the Bible. God was already setting up that precedence of what was going to happen in the New Testament by Christ's death on the cross. Law says you have to earn your salvation by what you do. You're essentially trusting in your own efforts, in your own self to save you. Faith is simply putting your trust in Jesus rather than yourself. Christianity is not about the law. Christianity is about our faith in Jesus. God declared us righteous not by what we do, but because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus became sin, that's so that we could become righteous, and it's because of our faith in Jesus that we are made righteous. Amen? The purpose of the law, a lot of the Old Testament is written, and we're like, why do we have the Old Testament? Why do we still read it? But the purpose of the law was to reveal to us how much sin was in us, how much we needed a Savior. It's because of our faith in Jesus that we're made righteous, but the law shows us how much we need a Savior. So this morning, I'm going to continue in Galatians 3. We're going to be talking about cursed or Christ. So I'm going to continue in verse 10. It says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say it's through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it's through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing, and it's written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Again, we're going to be talking about being in the cursed or being in the Christ category this morning. And I think most of us know where we want to be, in the Christ category. The awesome thing is you cannot be in the cursed category if you're in the Christ category. And if you're in the Christ category, you can't be in the cursed category. So if you guys can write that down on the first page, on the first line of your notes. In this life, there is cursed or there is Christ. And these are the two categories we can be in, but we cannot be both in the same time. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you have given to me this morning. I thank you that it is anointed and it is appointed by you. May I speak with boldness and clarity and love and compassion. I thank you, Lord, that this morning my words will fall on hearts that are open and receptive. I thank you, Lord, for touching hearts and changing lives this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to give you guys a powerful truth this morning. Very simple, very easy. Christians cannot be cursed. Simple as that, Christians cannot be cursed. To be cursed means to be doomed or to be damned, and we cannot be either of those. What God has blessed, no man can curse. You're either in one category or the other. Galatians 3:10 says, but those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's law. What you depend on is what you believe in. If you depend on the law to make you right, then you believe in yourself. You trust in your own efforts. That's on your notes this morning. What you depend on is what you believe in. You're in the law category, you're not in the grace category. You're in the cursed category, not in the Christ category, because you are trusting in your own efforts. You're trusting in your own do-goodisms. It's like trying to give yourself a gold star for every good thing you do. Did you see what I did? A lot of people in the cursed category are trying to get recognized and noticed for their gold stars that they get on their board. You know, as a mother of three, it's quite an amazing job that I get to do every day. Sometimes it's got difficulties, but all in all, it is a blessing to raise three children. But so I've started giving myself a gold star when I make it out of like Target or the zoo and all my children are still with me and alive, like they didn't fall into like the lion or the tiger's cage, but we all make it out of the zoo in one piece, I get a gold star. So once I get enough gold stars, then I reward myself with a delicious caribou coffee. So, but living in the curse category is like trying to get yourself all these gold stars. I did this and I did that, and you know, but over here in the Christ category, you've already gotten every gold star that you're ever gonna need, because Jesus already accomplished everything that you'll ever need to have accomplished. Paul tells us that whoever depends on the law to make them right with God is cursed. When Adam and Eve sinned, a curse fell on all mankind. A curse was imputed onto us because of their sin. But when Jesus died, he lifted that curse and imputed onto us righteousness. Because of Adam, we were cursed. Because of Adam, we were sinners. But because of Jesus, we are now blessed. We are now righteous. Paul is reminding his churches in Galatia that the law condemns us. The law brings us under a curse because it is impossible to obey the law. Remember, the law reveals to us how sinful we are, how much we cannot accomplish. But Jesus died, he set us free from the law, and we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. Verse 11 says, it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Paul's saying it should be clear to us that we can't be made righteous by obeying rules and regulations. If you're depending on the law, you're never going to do enough to be made right with God. And it will lead to discouragement, it will lead to pain, it will lead to misery, it'll lead to depression, trying to do it in your own effort. So that's the curse category. But in the Christ category, Jesus took the misery, the pain, the shame, the guilt. He took all of that so that you wouldn't have to carry that, so yet you wouldn't have to try to keep getting rid of that. He already took it. I mean, is it a really tough choice between the two? And this is what Paul is trying to ask the churches. Hello. He's trying to tell them, do you realize how foolish you are trying to be by trying to get your salvation and how you're trying to earn your salvation? That is what he's saying. You are being foolish by trying to earn your salvation. So verse 12 says, this way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it's through obeying the law that a person has life. The way of faith is not the way of the law. You cannot be a law person and a faith person at the same time, because legalism does not lead to faith. Legalism leads to more legalism. With law, it's never enough. The moment you think you've done enough, law says, but wait, you still have this to do. But wait, nope, you still have to do this. If you only remember one thing this morning, if you only take away one thing this morning, I want you guys to write this down and remember this. Law always announces what you still have yet to do. Faith and grace always announce what's already been done. Amen? Law always announces what you still have yet to do, but faith and grace always announce what's already been done. Law tells you that you haven't done enough. Grace reminds you that Jesus was more than enough. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 13, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus rescued us from the curse of the law brought on to us because he took that curse on himself. All the pain, depression, the misery, he took it upon himself so that we could live free. You have been rescued because Jesus paid your price. Stop living in the cursed category that comes by trying to fulfill the law. Start living in the Christ category that comes by trusting in the finished work of Jesus. God has made it so easy for us to be believers, to be Christians. He wanted to make it so easy. You don't have to do all 4,000 things that the law says, or how many things that the law says. All you have to do is believe in the finished work of Jesus. You know, we have Christians who are still wondering and walking around and thinking, am I cursed? But you know what? Like I said before, you cannot be cursed if you are living in the Christ category, because what he has blessed, no man can curse. God has called us to do two things. You know, when the religious leaders were asking, what is the one thing that we could do? What is the law. What is the best law? Like, what can we do? And all that Jesus said is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Yet today in this culture, how much do we see people, I mean, I think of a couple weeks ago, people saying they love God, yet they hate their brother. If you are not doing both of these, you are not fulfilling what God has called us to do. You are living in the law or the cursed category. Verse 14 says, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Through Jesus, God has blessed us with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. And I want to read some of that this morning. We're going to turn to Numbers 23. We're going to go back Old Testament. There's a king named Balak. I pronounced it wrong the first service, so I got I got someone to help me write it out. So there's a king named Balak. He's a king, he's a warrior, and he wants to defeat the nation of Israel. But how many know God's nation is Israel? So it would be pretty hard to defeat a nation that God has his hand on. But here this king is, and he knows that if he can get the nation of Israel to be cursed, he could defeat it. So Balak, he hires a prophet of God named Balaam, and he has hired Balaam to curse the nation of Israel. So he says, look, I'm going to pay you a bunch of money if you will just go in and curse the nation of Israel. So here Balaam goes, and he heads over to meet with the king. And on his way, God says, what are you doing? You can't curse Israel. I've already blessed it. And notice what Balaam says in Numbers 23, verse 8. But how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn those whom the Lord has not condemned? And then in skip down to 20, it says, listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Now remember, this is Old Testament. So after the cross, we see blessing, but how much before and after we see after the cross that God can bless something, so how much more can it not be reversed after the cross than before? Amen? So then I want to read in Deuteronomy 28. This is such a good chapter to read, to declare and proclaim the blessings that Jesus has given to us. So they have read the law in Deuteronomy chapter 27. And now in chapter 2 it says, you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Then notice what it says in verse 15. It says, but if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Am I the only one, or is it safe to say we have not obeyed all of the law? We have not obeyed everything written in the law. So we're cursed, right? But Jesus came, fulfilled the law, took that curse upon him, and he died on the cross. So when we go back and read this chapter in Deuteronomy 28, where it says you will experience all these blessings, it could now say because he obeyed the Lord our God. Not because we had to obey, but because he obeyed. He fulfilled. So I want to read Deuteronomy 28 because it's so good. I want you guys to underline things that just stand out to you, things that you can proclaim in your life this morning. So I'm going to read up on the big screen because I don't have it written down in my notes. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Remember, Jesus obeyed the Lord our God, he obeyed all the commandments, so we have all of these blessings this morning. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. We may not have herds and flocks this morning. Maybe you have a farm, so yes, you can claim that one. I think of Miss Braylon, my little two-year-old. Of one day, she probably will have her own farm because she is such an animal lover. So all her horses and cows and pigs, they're all going to be blessed. Verse 5, it says, your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter you in seven. That's one that some of you guys need to be proclaiming this morning. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore that he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. How many of you want people to stand in awe because of the blessings and the favor that you have on your life that can only come from God? The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work that you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. You will have more than enough to give. You are never going to have to borrow. And if you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on the top and never at the bottom. The Message version says you're going to be the top dog and not the bottom dog. I want to be the top dog. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. And praise the Lord, Jesus already did all the work for us by dying on the cross. He took upon himself all the curse. If you continue to read in chapter 28, it actually goes through all the curses that will come on you if you don't obey the law. But thank God that we can say, that's not for me. That's the law has been accomplished. The law has been fulfilled. If you're in the curse category, trusting in your own works rather than the finished work of Jesus on the cross, then you have no biblical legal rights to expect anything good in the future. But if you're in the Christ category, then you no longer have any biblical legal rights to expect anything bad in the future. And this morning you're probably thinking, but Jessica, good things happen people, or bad things happen to good people all the time. Good things happen to Christians. Yes, but you do not have to expect them to happen. You don't have to be waiting and waiting for bad things to happen around every corner. You know, a couple years ago, I had something bad happen to me, and it was health-wise, and I remember my aunt saying to me, well, bad things happen in threes, so you're probably going to have two more things happen to you that aren't going to be good. And so I could sit there waiting and going and living in fear, going, oh my goodness, what else is bad is going to happen to me? Or I can say, no, I live in the Christ category. So yes, I may be dealing with some health problems right now, but I believe that that I am healed, that I am well. I'm activating what's inside of me and declaring what God has put inside of me. I don't have to sit in fear and worry and wait for something else bad to happen to me. I can expect good things. You can expect that God has an amazing plan for your life, as it says in Isaiah, plans to prosper you, to give you a good hope and a good future. Amen. If you're believing in your own works and effort, if you're living on the curse side and something good happens to you, it's luck. But who wants to believe in luck? Who wants to live by luck? I want to live by faith. I want to live by the word and the promises of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Go ahead. Close your eyes. Bow your heads with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given me this morning. And I just want to give an invitation to those of you who have never opened your heart to Jesus, who have never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior this morning. You've been living in the cursed category. You haven't been able to, you haven't lived in the Christ category because you did not know you could live in the Christ category. So today I want to give an invitation to you. That I want to give an invitation that you are welcome. That all it is by confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that you are saved. It is by believing in the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. That is all that it is to being in the Christ category. Jesus wants all of us to be in the Christ category. He does not want us to be trying to earn our salvation. He does not want us to try and obey all the laws and commands. He wants you to be in the Christ category so that you can live with him in heaven forever. So if that's you this morning, if you want to make that decision this morning, you can go ahead and lift your hand up and then slip it back down. But we're going to believe and declare that this morning that you are coming over to the Christ category, that you are going to live in freedom this morning. And maybe you've been living in the Christ category, but you've been trying to do it on your own. You've been trying to earn your salvation. And you've just gone off track. Well, today I want to welcome you back to the Christ category, believing in the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. So as I say this prayer, just go ahead. Let's all pray together so that no one's alone in praying this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sickness, for our disease, and for our sin. Today, I walk in freedom, and I will live with righteousness. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. If you said that this morning, welcome to the Christ category. You are no longer under the curse. You are living on the easy, I say easy street, but yes, narrow is the road. It's not always going to be easy. Yes, there's going to be trials and tribulations, but take heart because he's overcome the world. We already know who's won the battle. We already know the end. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to take up our tithes and offerings.